Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
With me today is Agnes Sofwa, and she's the co-founder of the Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy, and we are going to talk about sickle disease today. Good day, Agnes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for your time. So would you be able to explain or give us, in layman's terms, what sickle disease is?
Okay, so sickle cell disease is a genetic disease. It's a disease that affects the red blood cells. So for people who are, you know, they know their body very well, they are healthy, the red blood cells are round and they move through the small, tiny blood vessels to carry oxygen to the parts of the body. But for someone who has sickle cell disease, the red blood cells become hard and sticky and they look like a C-shaped, the farm tool called the sickle. That's where the name came from.
Mm-hmm.
So and the red blood cells are formed in the bone marrow. They start dying slowly and by 20 days, they are completely dead. For a person who has sickle cell, who doesn't have sickle cell disease, the red blood cells replenish after 120 days.
If you have this, it means that you're prone to other diseases as well, isn't it? Your health is compromised.
Yes, yes, your health is compromised. It comes with a lot of complications and a lot of pain because once they start blocking the veins, they start swelling in the joints, especially a lot of pain needing medications, morphine and all strong medications, but other complications and infections as well.
And you became aware of this disease when you had your youngest child?
Yes, when we had our youngest child, my story is quite long, but I was very sick when I was pregnant with her. And when she was born, she just seemed different and she started having symptoms. One of the symptoms she had was the swelling of the hands and feet. And those are the early symptoms in childhood. And by the time she was 12 months, she had a lot of complications, but we didn't know that it was sickle cell related until she was 14 months old. That's when she was diagnosed with sickle cell, and she had very severe complications. One of the complications is the acute chest syndrome, which is like pneumonia, but very severe. And that's how they found out when her lung had collapsed. And so that's how we found out.
So it is life-threatening.
It is life-threatening. In other parts of the world, babies don't even live up to the age of 5. But we are lucky in Australia, the doctors do everything to actually treat all the infections and all the pain episodes people are looked after.
But not everyone would have this. So for you to be able to have the sickle disease, you would have to have two parents who've had it? Is that correct?
Yes. So sickle cell disease is a disease that comes from two genes, which are called the sickle cell trait. So if, for example, my husband carries the half the gene, I also carry half the gene. And that's how we had our child who has the sickle cell disease. And with this genetic disease, it affects people. There's a history behind it that a long time ago, the body was protecting itself from malaria.
Mm-hmm.
Then because the host of the red blood, the malaria parasite is in the red blood cells in the body started trying to hide from the parasite and started breaking the red blood cells. So places where there's malaria, people are at risk, and these places include people from African descent. You also have people at risk, the Hispanics, Southern Asia, Caucasians from Southern Europe, and people from the Middle East. So if you come from these parts of the world, chances are that you may be carrying the gene without even knowing.
But you can be married to someone who carries half the gene and still have children who do not have the disease, because you've had 4 children and only one was affected.
Yes, yes. And actually, it's just luck. Like, we didn't even, you know, afterwards, then you get scared, like, oh my God, how did that happen? So yeah, for us, it was every 25% chance of the pregnancy that it can turn out either way. So the first 3 kids were fine. One of them was the carrier. And then for her, that's when we knew now. That's when we had to test all our kids when she was diagnosed, because we didn't know that we carried the gene. We never got tested. Our parents didn't even know as well. So,
And you can become tested for it even before you want to have children, isn't it?
Yes, you can get tested for it. Just ask for the GP to do a specific test if you come from the other parts of the world, as I say. But also, in this day and age, with migration and intermarriages, you never know that you may carry the gene. So ask the GP for a specific blood test, not a normal full blood test. There's a specific blood test called electrophoresis, and it is covered by Medicare. And once you do the test, if it becomes positive, then the GP will refer you to a hematologist or genetic counselor so that you can get counseling or get other information. But if you're of childbearing age, you can also do a genetic testing, which is covered by Medicare too.
What are the things that we should consider if we think we might have that gene?
The first thing is for one person to know whether they have the gene or not, of course, getting tested. But also, in this day and age, there's so many things that you can do. If you have it, both of you, husband and wife, have it, you can do IVF, or you can adopt. But those are very sensitive questions that you can only go through or go on with a genetic counselor. So the first thing you need to do is getting tested to know your status. Then other questions follow after that. But also raising awareness, like if you come from these communities, I'm a boring person. Every time I know that somebody comes from my country or one of these, I'll be just like, that you're at risk of having the test. Have you got tested? It's like the way, people talk about HIV those years, like, have you got tested just to know your status? That's what we are saying as well, because we can break the chain. Because a lot of people are, as you read before, it's one of the most common genetic disorders in the world. We can do something about it. We can break the chain.
And I guess most importantly, it's important to remember that it's not the end of the world if you get diagnosed.
Definitely. And that's why we are reaching out. It's not just about getting tested, but it's also for people who are living with a disease. And most of us, if not all people part of this organization, we are affected one way or the other. Either a parent or somebody who's living with a disease. It's not the end of the world. We've got a fantastic team of doctors. I'm here to testify that my daughter lived with the condition for 11 years and she had the bone marrow transplant, because right now, for this condition, they only treat symptoms and infections. The only cure at the moment is a bone marrow transplant. My daughter was the first child to have the transplant here in Australia. It went very successful. And now there's hope that other people can also do the same. So other people are just managed. And if you see them, they're living a normal life. We've got adults in their 60s, some in their 70s. It's not the end of the world. And that's why we're here to support. We do a lot of activities with people who are affected by this disease, either online now because of the COVID, but also face-to-face in different chapters.
So your daughter is living a normal, healthy life now?
Yes, she's okay now. She's just over 480 days post the bone marrow transplant. Her bone marrow has been corrected. It's producing normal red blood cells. She's gone back to school. Her hair has grown back, because you have to undergo chemo when you do the transplant. So she's now living a normal life, from taking about 20 tablets to one tablet only now, only because she had other complications that cannot be reversed. So she's only taking one tablet now. So she's perfect.
So it's a happy ending.
It is a happy ending. We fought a good fight. That's what I say for me. But for me, it doesn't mean that I don't still have that passion that I had 11 years ago. And that's why we are continuing to do this. And we are focusing on other aspects as well, in terms of reaching out to the policymakers to making sure that this disease is recognized as a chronic disease in Australia for Medicare purposes, for example. If you want to get a healthcare card, it's very complicated. So we do reach out to policymakers. But mostly, it's a support that I didn't have when we were going through this as a family. And that's why we put that as a number one on the list, to make sure that anybody who reaches out to us, even if you just want to talk, we are here to hear you.
Thank you very much for your time, Agnes Offa from the Australian Sickle Cell Advocacy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Comment Sundan SBS Filipino sa Facebook.